Okay, continuing on my discussion with Dr. Ron Paul, former congressman, I want to say one thing initially. I made a comment to a guy named Larry and to a guy named Irish Tony that I would bet my life on this vaccine, that I thought that they were overreacting. When I got a guy like Ron Paul who tells me he wouldn't take it, let me tell you, Big Al is definitely not going to take it. Why is this thing such a political hot potato right now, in your opinion, Dr. Paul?
Well, it's lost control. The deep motivations by the individuals promoting this, I guess you can't always totally understand that. You have to see it superficially because they have motivations that they're not going to reveal. It could be just plain out ignorance of it. It might be just their authoritarianism coming out. It could be the influence of the profiteers who are going to make a lot of money off of this, billions of dollars. And there was one other theory that I have that others have said is possibility is, you know, I date the real problems that we've had in this last year is from about a year ago, you know, in the fall of last year. It was especially in September, it became noticeable there was something very, very wrong with our stock market. And that was when the short-term rates skyrocketed over 10%, and everybody was shook up about this, and the correction was set to come in. So it was electioneering going on, and everybody had to do it, and that's when they started spending money like crazy and printing money like crazy. And I always assumed, why did they get bipartisan support for this? And I think it was, for the virus. I think the virus and the treatment and all the emphasis on this was to distract from the real cause, because you know, you've studied it a long time over the significance of the Federal Reserve System, because and that's still the threat. That's still out there, even though they can talk about viruses. You know, the real big economic concern has just been made worse, but it came from the Federal Reserve. And I just think that this was a convenient way. Maybe it popped up on its own, but they've been using it. And a reason that, you know, they might not have been able to pass $3 trillion worth of spending if they hadn't terrorized the people with this virus going on. It would have been more difficult. But that's ongoing, and I think they're going to continue the same process, build up the fear, whether it's medical fear or financial fear or a foreign war fear. That's how governments operate. But we have an infestation of authoritarians in Washington, and it's unfortunately bipartisan.
You know, it is bipartisan. But having said that, Donald Trump went along forever when he was still unquestionably the president, saying that. This thing is, yes, it's bad, but we have to protect the people who are high risk. The general population, in a sense, is very, very. The issue just isn't with them. We don't want to have these ongoing lockdowns because it's going to kill the country economically. And it is the psychological problems that it's causing, the economic problems that it's causing, it's almost not worth it. We just have to worry about the high-risk people. And if people like that, which includes myself and yourself and our wives, if we're not smart enough just to use common sense, that's our problem. Any comments on that?
Yes, and that could have been possible if the country had a better understanding and a greater conviction about what a free society is all about. Because in a situation like that, we make the choices. It should be the individual, it should be the family, it should be the spouses that make these decisions. So you take masks, for instance. If you have libertarian leanings, you don't tell other people they can't wear a mask. But the people who are wearing the mask, they can't tell the people who don't want to, because it's your own choice. The people that wear masks and want you to do it and insist on it, they're very, very insecure, and they want a feeling that they're not doing something stupid. If everybody gets to do this, you know, then they're going to feel like they're doing the right thing. But that's the big effort to do, is just intimidate people. And this whole thing, if you don't wear the mask, you know, you might lose your job.
Isn't that kind of scary?
Get, huh? Yeah, and wait till they come by, and let's see, we're already in our minds decided that we don't want that vaccine, but what if it turns out that vaccine is much worse, you know, and has a lot more in it, then maybe that will be our passport, and that's the way you can't go any place. You can't go into any store. You can't fly on an airplane. You can't get a job. You have to pass the test. You have to have your passport, you know, buried in your arm. That is just the direction I think we're going, and it's going to be very bad. That's why I was very encouraged and encouraged the viewers today that there's a lot of resistance right now building, and I'm sure a program like yours contributes to people understanding this, and that's what we need need more of. We complain that the social media has total control. I said, well, just think the founders and the colonists, all they had was pamphleteering, you know, and word of mouth, and they were able to pass a message and get people enthused. But we that is our biggest job, is overcoming, you know, the propaganda coming not only from our government and social media, but from our educational, the government education, the universities. Those are the people who teach. For in economics, it's easy to understand that about 98% of the people I met in Washington didn't even know the word Austrian economics, and they were all Keynesians, and they were all a variety of economic planning, and foreign policy is the same way. But that's an educational thing. So when I look at, you know, and you're familiar with a favorite institute of that I work with, and that's Lou Rockwell's Mises Institute. I think he's an unsung hero because he has literally educated a lot of people and a lot of teachers, and that is that is the only real answer to this, and that is philosophic answers and an understanding. And then, I think right now I look at it as an opportunity. People are going to get frustrated. They are getting frustrated, but what so far has filled the frustration, and that has been the Marxists getting elected to Congress, and then the media giving them all this attention, which shows that our job is a pretty big job.
Ron, let me ask you one question. We got about 3 minutes left here, 2.5 actually, but let me ask you a question. This is really important to me. Now, my belief is that the media is behind the what I would call dumb progressives. Now, Ron Paul didn't say that. Al Cornyn said it. The media is behind the progressives, in my opinion, for one basic reason. The current administration is very definitely nationalistic. The liberals are very definitely what I would have to call globalists. Globalism right now is not going to work for the United States. Any comments on that, Dr. Paul?
Well, that certainly is the way going, but it's a job to sort it out and say exactly how did they get that way. And I do drift back frequently to the philosophers behind the system. I mean, you have to have Marx and Lenin before you have actually communism. Communism doesn't, come up spontaneously. There's usually somebody with bad eyes. Same way with fascism. There's always people like that, and then you have Keynes type of economists. So yes, they're the ones. The results that you see, you have to deal with it. You have to try to convert people. You have to show that the ideals fail, and I think that it's wise to show the stupidity of countries adapting to the socialism in Venezuela and different places. So the practical arguments do work. But I still think we have to get people to understand, philosophically. And people say, well, that's too big a job. How are you going to convert all these people? And the answer is you never convert everybody. You convert a significant number of people who have influence. And for the foundation of our country, our founders, there was about 7 or 8% of the population knew what was going on. But they were brilliant, and they were good, and they did lead the way. And even today, you still need a majority to respond to the leaders, and the leaders have to believe in something, and they have to be accepted. So I think that's where we can win. But to say that we have to go out and convert every single person
is totally impossible. I learned that
from you, Dr. Paul, and I appreciate it. Got to cut it off right now. We're out of time, sir. Definitely want to get you back on the show.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.